have visually confirmed that my record button has been pushed and my voice is being recorded.
And a little blue line is going, and it gets bigger sometimes when you talk.
Yep, it's doing little jumpy jumps.
Perfect.
There's many situations where, like, over-explaining something is really annoying, but when it's not, it's pretty amazing. When it's funny, I think, is when it's not.
Yes. 100%.
Reminds me of Mojo Jojo. He would, like, just add six too many sentences describing the thing.
You will take this letter in my hand. This letter I have written. This letter I have written to the Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls letter. It's Cusco's poison.
Yeah, the poison. The poison for Cusco. Cusco's poison. The poison made specifically to kill Cusco.
How you doing, Surratt? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. My internet's really bad in the wind, so we'll see how it happens.
We'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
Don't burn bridges, people.
Yeah, that's generally good advice.
Unless it leads to a toxic relationship.
There's a rampaging horde of orcs coming after you.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say securing the pier from, like, a zombie horde.
Yeah, if you're, like, level one in Iron Fang Invasion and you're running away from hobgoblins, yes.
Absolutely. I heard that that's a good strategy.
Spoilers.
Level one spoilers. Ouch.
I'm level 13 in that campaign, and it's still a spoiler for me.
Yeah, you should have come in at level one.
I feel like it was kind of nice coming in at level 4. Like, that's usually when stuff starts to get good in a class.
Yeah, but imagine that in this campaign. Imagine coming in and you're just like some guy in Lepidstead. And you never went to Ravengrow. You never went to the prison. You never even knew Lorimer. And you're just like, I don't know, just some, like, bumbling local cop or something.
Oh my god.
I was hoping it was going to go there. Bumbling seems a little harsh, though. Or it at least seems harsh when Zeke is sober, I imagine.
I mean, after a couple whiskey and glass shards, he's a little bumbling.
I'm still both impressed and embarrassed of that hot fix.
I thought it was diamond dust.
Yeah, diamond dust.
I mean, I do absolutely feel like diamond schlager would be a dwarf drink.
Yeah.
Right? That sounds on par. Somebody's got to do it somewhere. It's a fantasy world. It's fine.
So after last session, I had a game to GM the following morning, and I had to apologize to my players. I told them I had done too much Stormac the night before.
Oh, yeah.
My voice was hurting.
You pulled your Stormac muscle.
All that, you know, high-grade Stormac I was putting through my system really did me in.
Yeah, it was unadulterated.
Unchained.
Unhinged, even. No, actually, I wanted to point out at the beginning, or somewhere near the beginning of this session, that I would like Ryan to get a hero card for that awesome moment, pledging your oath to Torag.
Alright, thanks. Don't mind if I do. See what I can get here. Last time, when I was talking about my new hero card, I was talking about one that I'd already talked about, or one that I'd already pulled. There's no, like, clean way to tell which one's the new one here.
Oh, yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Is this a first world problem thing? Like, you've got so many hero cards, you can't tell which one's the new one.
I was thinking the other night that I feel like 7 should be the limit on hero cards.
For real.
Like, it's like a hand of cards is 7 in a lot of things. It seems...
I don't mind that, you know? I've earned myself 7 hero cards, Meg. And if you are jealous, that's a bad look on you.
I'm not jealous. I'm just saying bragging is kind of rude.
I think Ryan used to have a bad case of RPG potion syndrome.
Yeah, I'm going to need that.
Well, it's a really handy item. I got to hold it. I'm going to need it at some point.
Yeah, but then you have a million different potions.
Yeah, I know almost the entire party's down right now, and these ghouls are still coming, but fuck that. This arrow guard needs to be held.
All right.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, we're all just teasing.
I don't think I've been holding on to these hero cards too tightly. I'm happy to spend them.
Oh, I very much suffer for that problem, so I've been overcompensating and just, I get one, okay, well, next time an opportunity that's even close to being good to use it, just spend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta feed the economy.
What is this, trickle-down hero cards?
So, how the hell are you guys doing?
Oh, you know.
Well, if I did, I probably wouldn't be asking.
Same as always.
That's fair. That's fair. Living the dream.
We went to Disneyland. That was super fun. I don't have any news to report. We really liked the Star Wars stuff. That was super fun.
You got arrested.
Yeah, we did. The Empire caught us trying to escape. Made us pay for it.
Was there an interrogation process or?
You know, Kylo Ren started to, but then he got interrupted. And pulled away to the bridge, so we actually used that moment to escape.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe they let you escape and they put a tracking device on your car.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And now you've led them back to your base.
Well, shit.
All your base are belong to them.
You know, that's the whole premise of the ride, is that they found your base.
What? This is just a ride?
Yeah.
Thanks for destroying the illusion.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Part of it, you're in a space station while the Empire is invading it or something, right?
Are you going off of the picture I sent of my husband who was abnormally thrilled to be arrested by stormtroopers?
Well, I've heard a couple people describe this thing and never very thoroughly.
Yeah, it's super fun. I don't really want to take up too much time with it, but it's part of the line is being arrested. You're not even on the ride yet, but you get caught and you move from this underground bunker that's supposed to be the rebels into a ship, and then the ship moves around and the ship gets caught by an Imperial cruiser. And then you come back out the door and suddenly you're on the landing bay, and then you're walked through all of these hallways, but you're a prisoner now, and everyone's talking mean to you. All the people that work there are I didn't tell you could talk. Stand on the line. It's like, geez,
that's,
sorry.
That's awesome.
It was so fun. We really enjoyed it.
Remember, listeners, book your vacation today. Disney, if you're listening, money, please.
Yeah, we're looking for a film.
Also, please don't assassinate us.
Yeah.
Surratt and I took no part in this.
I don't want to get sued.
Guilty by assoc.
Well, by Disney, I mean famously non-litigious.
Yeah, they would never do something like that. Just doesn't sound like them.
Yeah, we're probably going to have to cut all this. Well, episode 47?
Yeah.
Last week, we had a little bit of a break from the constant obligation to adventure, or investigate, or defend in court. The beast set loose into the night, and you've all had a little bit of time to gather yourselves, relax maybe even, dare I say. Sidriel and Zeke have been working together, copying spells and digging through Vorkstag's spellbook.
Nerds!
Yeah, especially since now Sidriel can learn Zeke's formulas as spells. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's getting fancy.
Flora disappeared and came back with a new friend.
Oh, yeah.
She adopted baby Manticore.
Was there any paperwork involved in this adoption? Because it sounds more like an abduction.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't anyone left to abduct it from, so...
Yeah, it's fair game once it's put on the sidewalk.
Yeah. There's a free sign on it and everything.
Stormak got a little more serious in his religious activities. We saw him swearing an oath to Torag, and he was gifted a mighty fine hammer from Bolin Proudspark so that he may conquer his coming challenges. I think that's pretty much where we left off, and it sounded like the rest of you had your days and evening filled with spell studying and caring for a baby manticore.
Child rearing.
So I believe today, or the next day, if you guys go to sleep, you'll be waking up on Gozran the 12th. What do you think you guys are doing with your time on this day?
Stormax settles into a routine of making a breakfast for everyone and then heading out. Maybe he heads out early. He heads out early for breakfast supplies, fresh fixins. And he makes a big breakfast for everybody, and then he's out on the town running and exercising, doing a little goofy parkour here and there. That's his typical day.
Nice. He's a runner now.
He's trying.
What about Flora?
I think she sticks close to home because she's aware that she's raising a monster. But she tries to kind of participate in whatever's going on around the house. Like if people are talking, bows or magic, she'll just hang out and listen in and play with baby, and also sort of start training it on the basic commands and stuff, and show it her, daisy charging every once in a while, and just to kind of get at the idea.
Start them young.
Yeah, you have to.
Interesting that you have a potential animal companion that can learn common.
Yeah, this one can talk.
Yeah, are you teaching it to speak?
Yeah, I mean, it would learn even without me trying very hard, if raising children is teaching me anything. You just talk around them and to them a lot.
It's like osmosis.
Yeah, they just figure it out.
So you spend in most of the day sticking close to home, taking care of... Did we name the manticore?
We haven't yet. We haven't named the manticore.
I had a suggestion.
No. We're not.
Was it Manny or something?
I didn't say it.
Is that what it was?
We weren't going to put that into the universe, but now it is.
Jeez, John.
I vote for Manticarl.
Did you say Manticarl?
Yeah. Manticarl!
Oh my god.
I like that one. That's pretty good.
Oh, that's awful.
That one was so bad it woke Surat up.
Well, then I'm doing my job.
I mean, I'm here. I just only hear about every third word everybody's saying, so it makes it really difficult.
No.
It's fine. I'm all good. I mean, the only thing I want to do today is learn... there's one more spell that I want to learn, and that's all I can get out of that book.
Do you want to go shopping with Cid for more spells?
I can only take the ones that are available to alchemists, right? So you probably have a bunch of spells in your book that I can't do, right?
Yeah, but I mean, there's still a good amount of stuff. If I want to see if I can go find someone that's selling fly, and you can pick up fly.
I can, yeah.
So stuff like that, if you want to go halvesies on the cost.
Sure, that's fine.
And then we can both copy it down.
But I have one to do, and I think it takes 4 hours.
Okay. So you can take care of that and still have time in the day to do some stuff.
Do you have third level spells at this point?
No, I don't. I have second level spells.
You're second level, okay.
Well, cool. Putting time in, learning some new abilities. Anything else Zeke is looking to accomplish today?
No, not particularly.
And Sidriel, any hot items on his schedule?
Just scribing some more spells, and like I said, see if Zeke will show him around to, maybe where there's some magic shops and things in town to pick up some more spells.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably pretty likely.
Also, Sid's a little hesitant to be wandering around town by himself right now.
Yeah.
For no particular reason.
I noticed he was real buddy-buddy with Zeke all of a sudden. Hey, you want to go shopping together?
Just gonna hang out with this guy.
Well, the rest of the town probably doesn't yet know that he's been fired, so they still think he's a cop.
Yeah.
Seems like a safe travel companion.
I like it. Is everyone staying at Auslan's?
I am.
Yeah, I built a whole fort.
And Goody is not going to probably outright ask, but he's will hint and kind of stick around as though he's welcome to stay there. I feel like nobody's been showing him otherwise.
Yeah, I dare anyone to try to kick Flora's brother out.
Yeah.
Alleged brother.
That's true. Well, nah. She's got some proof.
Did you check his skin, though?
Oh, good question. She hugged him real good and hard. I think they're fine.
You gotta ask him the code word. Oh, you missed that meeting. Flora doesn't know the code word.
Did you tell Judge Jeremid the code word?
No, fuck that bitch.
He's been telling everybody.
Yeah, the whole city knows that code word by now.
All right, we gotta pick a new code word.
The only people you've told are the Crooked Kin, then. Did you tell the crew, the party?
No, I told Jeremid and the crew minus you at that meeting. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
And okay. Goody.
I hope you would update me.
Right on.
For those of us that may have forgotten and definitely don't have loose skin, what's that code word again?
Don't tell him.
Pineapple.
It was a test!
<Damn it.
laughs> Now, would anybody be awake on this evening, like closer to midnight?
I could say that, you know, every couple hours I gotta wake up and feed that baby. So it's very, very possible.
Right. Are you nursing this manticore?
With like a bottle.
But what's in the bottle?
I don't know. Goat's milk. Don't be weird.
Just curious. So around midnight, maybe it's while you're getting up to feed Manticarl.
No.
That.
No.
You didn't use my picture, so now you got stuck with a name.
No.
Was Manny that bad?
Yes.
It's all bad. It's all bad.
Well, you should have named him.
No. You have control over what you name your new furry child.
Flora had like 2 whole days with this thing.
It took me like 2 weeks to name my cat.
That's fair.
You gotta see what their personality's like, man.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta get to know them before you pick a name that's right.
Yeah.
Well, till then, he'll be Manticarl.
Placeholder.
Placeholder's a terrible name.
While you maybe notice that Goody hasn't been around most of the evening. Well, while you're up late at night feeding the manticore, he comes in the door. He's got his overcoat with his hood up, and he's like, oh, hi, Flora. I didn't expect anyone to be up at this hour.
I'm up like all the hours. What are you doing so late?
Oh, he's just taking care of a little bit of business, is all.
Business, huh?
I could tell you, you mentioned before, wanting to look into finding the rest of our family.
Yeah.
And, well, recently I came into a fair amount of money, and I may know some talented people that might be able to help out in a little bit in that respect.
Really?
It's a couple of my old business partners, you could say. They're good at knowing things and finding out things that they don't know.
I mean, can you trust them?
Well, I could trust them as far as I could throw them.
So she kind of sizes him up, like, so not very far then?
I trust the information that I'd probably get from them, I tell you that much.
Well, if you think it's safe.
I mean, I don't see why it would be dangerous, just them looking into it. They've no reason to do any harm to our family members should they find them.
Would they, like, ransom them or something to us after they've done it? I
don't think so. I actually didn't think about that until now. Oh.
The world's a dark place, Goody.
He's suddenly sweating. He wipes his brow. Well, I guess let's hope not.
Oh, did you already do it?
Well, I paid them half up front.
Oh, okay.
And the other half for the information.
Okay. Well, I hope it helps. I hope it works.
Only thing is, I'm kind of a little bit broke now.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. Sense motive.
Yeah, that's rough.
You don't maybe have like a loaf of bread or something laying around here, do you?
Oh, sure. Loaf of bread, that's fine.
And,
didn't he lead the story with how he just came into quite a sum of money?
Well, he gave it all to the people.
Well, half of it.
Yeah, but if he spends the other half on bread, he's not going to get the information.
Okay. All right. No, I'm happy to give him bread. Once he starts asking for money, I'm going to get sketched.
My long-lost sibling just finally shows up and just needs a little bit of cash to help me with this thing that I desperately need.
Yeah.
Come on, we're blood. You're mechanically obligated to.
I am. She gets him, some food. She's like, oh, yeah, Austin's got food. We got food. Pulls food out. Feeds him.
And yeah, maybe he'll hang out with you for a little bit while you're feeding the baby, and he'll get some food in him.
John, you're making my imaginary friend look sus as fuck, and I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do that.
Your imaginary friend is sus as fuck.
Well...
Talking about Goody?
Yeah, you're making Goody look sus as fuck.
He's a good guy. Come on.
John, who are you considering that Surat might be talking about instead of Goody?
His imaginary.
I mean, there's options. I don't want to dox the imaginary friends in case they're real. He's made them sound very convincing. Why sus? What's so sus?
Asking for money and shit.
It just seems sus. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, like, he was making money selling drugs from botched police raids, and he's trying to turn a new leaf.
John, I wrote the character. I know all this.
A good leaf?
A better leaf?
Yeah.
Perhaps even a good one?
But, I mean, he spent all his money for a good cause, at least.
Yeah. Yeah!
I mean, you can roll sense motive.
Okay, I don't have a very good one, but I'll do it, sure. Plus 4. Nice.
Could be worse.
There you go. I got a 17 for a 21.
Nice.
Not too shabby.
I bet Goody can really lie his ass off, though.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, let me roll his bluff real
quick. Who knows what his job is? Don't roll a bluff.
Yeah, you don't get any idea that he's, like, trying to hide anything from you. He seems to be warming up to you and treat you in an earnest, trusted way.
Okay.
You feel like he was a little standoffish talking about these old business partners, but I feel like his what he was telling you about the deal was true.
Okay.
And yeah, he'll pass out on Auslan's lazy boy in front of a fire or something at a certain point. And we'll wake up on the 13th.
What are we waiting for?
Well, I guess we'll just go around the circle with what you guys do for the day. Let's start with Zeke this time.
Were we successful in finding those spells?
Now, we had a percentage for finding magic items in Lepidstead. I think it might have been like 75%. So any not mundane like magical item, just roll a D100. 25 or lower, you're not able to find it. And 26 and up, you are.
Can I aid?
I don't think it's that kind of situation.
It's mostly a joke.
Yeah, he's a local. He knows where to find shit.
Alright, you want me to roll that, or you want to roll it? I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. We have the same fucking buff. Here, I'll roll it. Oh, that's a 77. That's good.
What was that roll for?
I thought we were finding a scroll of fly.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first thing we talked about, so it makes sense to assign it to that.
Cool.
So, what, DC 15 plus spell level spellcraft check?
I think so.
I pass for sure with a 18 plus 9 is, 25.
And that is a 20 for Sid.
Cool, cool, cool.
Sid learned fly. It's super effective.
Yeah.
Now you can fast travel.
It's not overland flight. Different spell.
That was yesterday. You guys went spell shopping, yeah? And you probably could have also got that copied into your spell book and stuff yesterday.
Yeah, but while we're shopping, there are other spells I was looking for, and I also did want to try to find a Pearl of Power, a level 1 Pearl of Power.
Okay. Just roll for it in the chat and put type out what the roll is for.
It's a 32 for the Pearl of Power.
Right on.
I also want to pick up a spell called Insect Scouts.
Hmm. Classic.
Well, I'll just sit here and do this for a little bit until I run out of money or time.
That's fair. Stormac, you got anything for this Sunday morning?
Stormac's just exercising and traveling throughout the city. I kind of picture him thinking like a vigilante, but without the disguise and subterfuge. Just like he's running around, and if he sees something that he doesn't think is right, he'll intervene, mask or no mask.
Looking for wrongdoers.
Yeah, but that's like not entirely his point, but he's just taking in the city now that it's calmer.
Nice.
I assume there's a calm to the city now.
Yeah. It's much calmer now that the trial is over. The streets are way less crowded. The town square at this point has been like cleared of ashes and all the objects people were stacking up to burn. And yeah, it's quieter, calmer. It's still a pretty bustling city though, but it's noticeable. And maybe when you come back with breakfast supplies, you notice a small envelope on the front stoop of Auslan's house.
Well, he carries all the groceries in one hand, because that's what men do, and then he picks up the envelope with his other hand.
Nice. Yeah, it has, in fine print, Ezekiel Kane written on it.
He tucks it under his arm, doesn't worry much about it, and heads on in and continues with the rest of his day. Maybe he just puts that envelope near... Wait, does Zeke have a room here as well? Like a designated room?
Probably not.
No? Okay. Well, then I'll just put it in some, like, communal area of ours. Dining room table.
Right on. What do you think Zeke is up to on this day?
I was looking up the craft rules, and I still kind of don't have any idea how they go. So you convert the item into silver pieces, but even that, and then you roll the check and multiply by the craft DC. Does that sound right?
That sounds like Moonman talk.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to look it up because I wanted to make a Tanglefoot bag, but it kind of sounds like it's going to take like a fucking week. I don't think I have that type of time.
Oh my god.
I wouldn't think it would take a week.
See, I don't understand them. Sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't have that fresh knowledge on top of my head.
Let me get some of that fresh knowledge on top of my head.
Anyway, he kind of wants to try to make a Tanglefoot bag.
Okay.
Which, I'll work on those rules.
Right on. But is that your main goal for the day?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
You would clearly see that envelope. Stormac probably put it somewhere that it would be found.
Dining room table.
Dining room table.
We all know where that is.
Zeke probably picks it up and laughs, chuckles at it a little bit, and then puts it back on the table for now. And looks into how to make a Tanglefoot bag for now.
Sweet. Sidriel, anything you're trying to get into today?
I'd probably be scribing some scrolls. Get prepared for any upcoming adventures.
Right on. Flora, Babysitting?
Yeah, babysitting. She's also working on her scary face because I need some intimidate. Maybe she found some books on basic wilderness survival because I need to make that stronger too. While also slowly somehow forgetting things like how to climb real good, or I forget which one I'm taking it out of. I'm retraining some things as well.
I can dig it. Maybe the manticore baby is showing you how to be intimidating.
Yeah, I'm learning like scary posturing.
Working on my roar!
Yeah!
In this montage of days, perhaps Sidriel is scribing away there, and Stormak walks by and reads something over his shoulder, written in magic, something that Stormak shouldn't be able to read. And Stormak just says, "Oh, something, something about magic," and just keeps walking.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so I'll look over her shoulder kind of inquisitively, like, that was weird.
Weirdly.
Anyways.
Now, at a certain point, there is a knock on the door, probably around like noon. Anyone who is hanging around the house today would hear it.
"I got it," she says, heading towards the door, bouncing the baby on her hip. Opens the door.
You open the door, and it is Kendra Lorimer.
"Kendra, look at my baby!" She holds it up.
It's like, "Oh my, your baby,
Isn't he adorable?"
"Do tell. How did you come across this? He is very adorable, yes."
"Isn't he cute? I want to hold him here."
She was like put off for a second, but then like it gave her a look and she was like couldn't help but pet it.
Yeah. She like guides her in. She's giving her like the cliff notes of how she got the baby and all the exciting stuff, and ushers her into the kitchen and starts making her some tea. "Stormak, Sidriel!"
"What?"
Wait, no, maybe just Stormak.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Well, and Zeke's probably working on the Tanglefoot bag.
Yeah. Guys!
"You know, I just thought I'd stop by. I was in the area, and I don't know, I thought maybe I would have seen you by now or heard from you, but..."
"Oh, you know..."
It's okay.
Stormak comes running into the room. Oh, it's Kendra!" And he says, he smiles at her. He says, "Hold on!" And he runs out of the room.
Okay.
"Well, all right then.
I've been meaning to stop by, but like this baby's kept me so busy. I don't know how many days have gone by and everything, and I'm afraid of walking around in town with him, you know what I mean?"
"Oh, yes, I mean, who knows what kind of commotion that would cause."
"Yeah.
Is it, I mean, does it behave itself? I've heard ghastly things about manticores."
"I mean,
it's just stinging her lightly."
"Yeah, it's like it's gnawing on her dress.
Its enormous arm. Scorpion tail is just striking her repeatedly."
"Well, at least it's in the same spot every time, so you only have one welt."
"Well, you know, I'm training him."
"Wow, well, that sounds like a whole journey that you'll be going on for a while. I wish you the best of luck in that. What are your plans, do you think? You were here for the tasks my father gave you, and then you were involved in that trial, but what will you do now?"
"You know, I hadn't really thought about that. I figured we were home."
"Yes, you had lived here, but from what I understand, Stormak and Sidriel had homes elsewhere."
This has completely blown Flora's mind. She's like, "Wait, they're not just going to live with me and we'll be roommates forever?" She's staring off into space like, "Oh, I guess that makes sense."
So upstairs, Stormak has come back from his room and he stops in to where Sidriel scribes his spells, and he says, he comes in, he gets real close, puts a hand on Sid's shoulder, and he says, Hey, buddy! And he pauses for a moment. Make sure.
Settle just, like, turn and look.
Sormak looks him in the eye and he goes, Kendra's downstairs, talking with Flora. I'll keep her busy for a little bit, but you should come down there, man. And he heads off, just leaving Sid.
Oh, great, I guess I'll come down and keep her in a ditty and company.
And he turns, he's in the doorway, turns back. No, it's just her.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be down in a minute.
So, then Stormak enters that room with Flora and Kendra, and he has a gift bundle. And he says, Kendra, this is for you. And he presents it to her with both hands.
Oh, my. Oh, what is it? And she'll take it.
Well, it's a tradition among dwarves to give a small hammer to non-dwarves as a symbol of friendship. And he smiles, kind of folds his arms like mission accomplished.
Oh, Stormak, this is wonderful. You shouldn't have. I love it.
Well, it's for you, and it, it's for you. He just nods his head.
Oh.
Well, that's so nice. I was just asking Flora of her plans. Now that the trial and your tasks for my father are done, do you think you'll be heading home, or will you be sticking around for a while?
Flora's like, yeah, are you going to leave? Accusatorily.
He raises his eyebrows and, you know, looks at Flora and looks back at Kendra. No, I'm staying here. I'm staying here with Flora and Sidriel. And you. I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, you think Sidriel is going to stay too?
Flora nods. Yes.
At that moment, Sid's coming down the stairs and hears just that part. I've only been here a couple of days. You already trying to get me to leave?
Oh, no, I didn't. No. That's not... No, Hi, Sidriel.
Look, I get it. We've seen you walking around town with a Divian. You look very happy. You don't have to worry about me anymore.
Yes, well, I don't think I've ever worried about you.
Oh, ouch.
I just mean that...
Oh, my God.
You can take care of yourself. Oh, dear.
We're all friends here. And Stormak has his hands up like somebody's about to punch him.
I thought so, too.
Yes, no, I was just curious of your plans. I feel like it's been a while since we've talked to any of us, and I just hope you all realize how much I appreciate your friendship and the help you've given me.
Noted.
We appreciate you too, Kendra.
She, like, gives, like, a frustrated kind of look when Sidriel is short again, but she warms up when you say that. I will be around here for a little longer. I may be leaving myself, though, truth be told.
Oh. Where are you going?
Well,
I have to marry a Divian.
She is taken aback for a second. She's like, well, no, not exactly. No. Things have been going well with him, though. I have been happy, and well,
oh,
he's taken an interest in my studies and offered me sort of a scholarship in Caliphas.
Well, and I'm sure when you get to Caliphas, you'll find somebody else that can just help you with something else.
Oh my God, Sidriel.
She's like, ugh, an exasperated sigh. You know, Sidriel, you haven't exactly made it easy to be close to you.
He's just staring daggers at her at the moment.
I just feel like it's worth saying that I gave you every chance in the world to just accept my affection or God forbid, reciprocate it.
We slept in the same tent.
I couldn't even get you to hold my hand.
Well,
I'm sorry. I just don't feel like it's fair that I'm made out to be a villain in this.
Villain, and, you know, maybe just a sidekick to one, apparently.
Stormax steps in. Oh. Kendra, we don't like Adivion. He doesn't seem like he's a good person.
Do you mean because of the trial?
Already threw your dad's spell book in the trash?
And your father's book? Yes, yes! He steps over next to Sidriel, we're on the same side.
They were always adversarial as colleagues. And the trial, he was just doing a job he was hired to do. He's really a very kind and generous man. I wouldn't expect you to understand.
You fancied me for a bit, too, and here you are telling me how awful I am. Maybe you're just a terrible judge of character. And Sid starts to storm up the stairs.
And maybe you're just a terrible character.
What?
She's, coming to tears.
Yeah, so you proved my point then.
Oh!
So confused.
Stormac makes, three different facial expressions and then runs after Sidriel.
I just can't even...
Floor is sort of standing there awkwardly, like you do if when your friends just argue in front of you, and you're
I'm just imagining Sid now just peeking his head through the banister at the top of the stairs, so just his head's poking through, peeking at his head, divination wizard, didn't think I saw this coming.
Uh-huh. Oh my god.
And Floor is there with Kendra, and she's just flustered and coming to tears a little bit. And she's like, I should have known it was a bad idea to come here.
Oh, Kendra.
I should go.
Yes, you should.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for the tea.
Kendra.
She, kind of turns and hurries toward the front door.
She'll let her go. I'm not going to chase her down. But I might swing by her place later.
That was awesome. Sorry, Sid.
It was all according to plan.
Part of the plan. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Does anybody have anything else for this day?
Isn't later on this day when the boule comes back?
This is day 4 after the trial.
Oh, okay. Well then... Well, we gotta go camping, right? Get out of here for the boule attack.
Oh, yes.
That's what we're talking about, right, John?
Is it?
Well, then, yeah.
Maybe we have a little retreat out of Leopardstad to help cheer Sid up.
Yeah, come on, Sid. Let's go beat the shit out of a land shark. You can light him on fire.
Okay,
come on, honey.
Yeah. Aw.
Yeah, no, Sid is absolutely in his room at this point, furiously scribbling his scrolls, trying to hold back crying.
Aww. Oh, honey. Daisy follows him in, because she has that dog sense.
Yeah, so he's just holding Daisy close with one arm, scribbling scrolls with the other, wiping tears off of his parchment.
She's drooling on his spells, licking his face. Poor thing.
All right, so Stormac has all sorts of camping gear and food for the night prepared for us, and he shows up in the common room, and he says, "Okay, everybody, this is it. It's what we've been planning for, what we've been talking about for 4 days. Let's go set up and prepare for this creature to attack us from beneath the earth."
Yeah, I bet we probably know about an abandoned farm field or something, right? Somewhere where we won't damage someone's property or home.
Yeah, you could find a place.
Yes, I've been scouting it out. I've got the perfect place.
Great.
Right here.
Yeah.
Now, I did not know where this was going to happen, so I did not create a map yet.
We're going to kill it so fast, you might as well just do it. Theater of the mind, don't worry about it.
How about...
prep spells for the day.
This one.
Looks good.
I'm down.
No Ozil.
Oh. Ouch.
Oh boy. Damn, too soon.
But That was mean. That was so mean.
All right, there we go.
Just kidding. It's a white guy.
There's some sort of little speck of dirt on Old River. Let's get rid of Old River and that speck of dirt.
Oh, yeah, that mouse.
Oh, the mouse.
Mouse saved our lives. Multiple ways.
The mouse.
Can I whip out a couple of extracts before we're here?
Oh, yeah, you can have whatever you need prepared, for sure. We'll say you guys have been made aware of this by Stormak, and you have, you know, you're expecting tonight at some point a big fight.
Yeah.
I know it's only been a week or so since we camped last before we came to Leopardstadt, but it feels like it's been a year.
I'm just glad we're at Leopardstadt for now.
Sid, I'm sorry that happened. Perhaps that was inevitable.
Perhaps.
We'll find you a better fit, don't worry.
This totally has nothing to do with this uncomfortable conversation that's about to start, but knowing what we're expecting, we might want to spread out a bit as we relax.
Get away from me.
Yeah, you might want to fuck off.
Yeah.
We do have the tents nicely spaced. They're about 15 feet from each other. They're about 15 feet from the campfire itself.
Yeah.
Give a little room between one another. Sure, why not?
We're just kind of hanging out waiting for this thing to show its face.
It comes from beneath the earth. We will hear it. We'll know when it's on its way.
Zeke, do you mind relaxing about 5 feet to your left, maybe up against that nice rock?
I mean, sure, but we know it's going to come for Stormak before it comes for the rest of us. I mean, maybe we should take up defensive positions like that.
I was just trying to keep everybody in spell range.
Ah, smart.
So, I guess, kind of explain that, like, for the spells that he plans on firing off early on, he needs everybody to be within 30 feet of each other.
Of each other.
Of him.
Yeah, no two creatures can be more than 30 feet apart.
Oh, okay.
So, yep, this orientation works just fine.
Stormak's got some good campfire food that he's working on, and he's smiling, and he says, "We've really come a long way, all of us." And he points at, he throws like a piece of cooked meat to Daisy. He's like, "We've all really just become a team. This is really." He's just smiling and like looking at each one of you in the eyes and nodding his head. And I don't really, I'm not much for words, but this is good.
This is good.
That's fucking teamwork. And at a certain point, maybe while you're eating Stormak's famous campfire meals, the ground begins to shake and rumble.
This is it! He gets up, stands on his feet, puts the food aside, kicks out the fire.
Alright, it's dark now.
Yeah, what the fuck? Flora can't see!
No, we had this planned. Sorry, Meg. Let's say that Stormak had some torches. I mean, he does have some torches on his sheet, but let's say that we like located some torches about?
Yeah, totally.
Little tiki torch action?
No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To bring up the vibe?
Sounds good to me. And, well, why don't we all roll for initiative?
Yeah.
There's a 13 for Sid.
18 for Stormak.
Very traditional 7 for Flora.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's not bad. 25. 14 plus 11. No, 14 plus 8. Sorry, 21.
And I have a 12. So the ground starts rumbling and shaking, but you're not exactly sure where this thing is coming from yet. And Zeke is up first at the top of round one.
Ezekiel Kane, he drinks an extract, and as he's standing up, pulls out his rapier.
Sounds good to me.
That's got to be a thing that they practice, right?
Yeah, totally doable. Stormak is up next.
Stormak picks up his new warhammer and looks up into the sky, into the night sky, and he says, "Torag, help me hit this thing!" And then looks to his allies. He says, "This thing's hard to hit!" And he just takes a step away from the campfire.
Alright. Sidriel.
Sid is... Stormak, I ask you to stay close. Takes, I guess, a 5-foot step forward and then cast haste on all of us.
Fuck yeah.
Haste. Yeah, I wanted to cast haste and try to get away, but Stormak don't know how to listen.
Thank you.
He got excited. He's like...
Thanks for the haste. I don't think that we've ever had haste, have we?
No.
No, I've only cast one level 3 spell before, and it was very effective.
This is a common buff on these character sheets. Let me add it for the first time.
Jeez, nice. Haste turns me into a fucking maniac.
And that'll last for 6 rounds.
Damn.
Now, the ground begins to shake a little more violently, and you see a little mound of dirt turn into a big mound of dirt, as though it were breaking through water. This massive creature just explodes from the ground right next to Stormak, and is going to attempt to bite him. That's a 17. Probably gonna miss.
That'll miss.
And it's Flora's turn.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out what haste was doing to me, but that's cool. She will.
You get 2 attacks.
When taking a full attack.
Oh, right, but don't forget that. Because if you're right next to it, it's really effective.
So she'll hop up on Daisy and kind of get her lance ready and thinking to herself, oh, this is perfect. This is the perfect time to get a charge. And she like backs up and she's getting herself lined up and ready. And she's ready to charge it.
All right. Ezekiel Kane is up next.
Ezekiel Kane is going to drink another extract real quick and then move. I love that haste gives me 30 extra feet. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Yeah, I could get way the fuck over there. All right.
Zeke, I swear to God, if you stop in her charge lane, I'm going to cut you.
She has to move. She has to move anyway.
I have to charge in a straight line.
Yeah.
But you can't charge from that close. You're only 5 feet away.
From
No,
you?
She's like
what?
5 to 15 feet away.
She's 20 feet away if we count diagonals.
Doesn't she have to stop where I was standing, though? I guess it... Yeah, okay, whatever.
Oh, because her reach?
Yeah. Wouldn't she have to stop right there? Okay.
Yeah, but she could hit a square off to the, you know, over here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm going to stop right there.
All right, now moving in that close will provoke an attack of opportunity.
How much reach does it have?
It's got 15-foot reach.
15-foot reach.
Oh, Jesus.
And
all right,
that's going to be a 29 to hit.
Oh, yeah. That'll hit for sure.
Okay. That's going to be... Oh, that's 23 damage.
Ouch. Okay, that was a mistake.
What are you doing?
I'm going to have to get closer than that if I want to fucking fight it, so it's going to happen either way.
Yeah.
And Stormak is up next.
All right, Stormak takes a 5-foot step in to range here. He's now just right next to this thing, and with his new warhammer in hand and his new haste, he's going to do 2 attacks with this hammer. One is going to come bashing down, and then he's going to bring it back up. I've had this warhammer attack built for some time. I even had it built with a -4 when I wasn't proficient with it. Let me get rid of that. The first one is a 13 to hit. 13 can't hit, but with his learn from failure, that means his next attack he can add 1 to, so the next one is a 22, which becomes a 23. Still don't think that hits.
Yeah. That's gonna miss still, unfortunately.
All right, that's not as good as he can roll. That's not the best possible roll. That was pretty middle, but that's it for this turn.
All right, Sidriel.
Alrighty. Sid is going to take a 5-foot step back, and he is going to use a wand to cast Gravity Bow.
Alright, classic.
That will be his turn.
Alright, this creature is going to make a full attack on Stormac. That's a 22.
That'll hit.
For his bite, it's going to be a 23 damage.
Wow.
Same damage as the other one. And two claws coming at you.
Almost bloody already. Keep it going.
Oh, man. This is no joke.
Yeah, this thing's extraordinarily difficult to hit. We had to have, like, multiple NPCs come in to finish it off.
That's a 19 to hit?
Nope.
And a 20.
AC 20. That'll hit.
Oh, all right.
You found it, John.
That's going to be...
You found it.
That's going to be 14 damage.
All right.
And that is its turn.
And that is a Stormac officially below half.
Well, don't worry. It's about to die.
Flora's up next. Charge him for Charlie.
I'm gonna. Who's Charlie?
Just some guy.
Okay. Here she comes. With a 16 to hit.
Oh,
not quite.
No. That's my bonus.
Okay.
22.
Oh.
I rolled a 6 on the die.
Yeah, 22 is not gonna do it, unfortunately.
Of course it's not, because that's how my life goes. Which squares is it living in? Can I move past it? I know I can charge past it because I have that ride by attack feat.
Yeah.
So she will have hit it on the way here and then continued moving and then stopped here. Is this flanking with Stormac?
Yes.
Just hoping here. Did you add the +2 for charging to your attack roll?
Yeah, I have charged. I get a +4 to hit, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're beefy like that.
Yeah, so it's my bonus was 16, but I rolled a 6.
All right.
I was just hoping maybe we forgot to add a buff or something.
Yeah.
Because this thing is tanky.
Right on.
Yeah.
Very tanky.
All right, so Flora has moved to the far side of the boule. It's a huge creature, and that has set up a flank for just about everybody. We got a side-to-side flank for Flora, Daisy, and Zeke, and then we've got a nice diagonal flank for Flora and Daisy and Stormac. Good job, Meg.
You're welcome.
Very nice. Double flanker. Zeke, you see Flora circling around the backside of this massive beast. What do you do?
You see something that you've never seen before. Zeke's mouth starts to glow red as a 15-foot cone of fire comes leaping out of his mouth and onto the boulet. Can I get a reflex save?
Whoa!
Nice. Absolutely. That's a 12.
Ooh, sick. That is a fail for 4d6. Damn, that's good rolling for 21 fire damage.
3 sixes.
Nice.
3 sixes, very nice.
That was a good roll. Woo!
Very nice.
That was a really good roll.
See, I gotta love Vorkstag for that one. Fire Breath is a pretty cool spell.
Thanks, buddy.
Right on. Anything else from Zeke?
Yes. After that happens, I would like to take a 5-foot step towards the boule, and I would like to, as move action, studied target.
Sweet, sounds good.
Fuck yeah. That was a good turn.
You take it and start studying this beast's movements and weak spots, perhaps. And Stormak is up next.
Alright, I like the flanking. Let's turn on this beautiful buff of flanking and nave standard for plus +3.
Yeah.
And then let's just hang out. Stormak regrips this warhammer two-handed this time.
Ooh.
Let's try to do something with this thing. All right, that first one is a 28 to hit, finally.
That's gonna do.
All right, it's only 5 magical bludgeoning damage. And then the second one is a miss with a measly 23.
All right. It bleeds. You've dealt damage to it. You know you can kill it.
It takes damage! He yells to invigorate his team.
What a weird thing to say.
Well, he was just punching it so many times before and doing nothing to it, so.
Well, Sidriel is up next.
What kind of knowledge roll on this guy?
That would be Arcana.
Okay, making a knowledge check here. That is a 23.
That'll do.
So I guess defenses, like specifically I'm interested in saves.
Defenses. Yeah, it's got high fortitude, will is its lowest save. No immunities or resistances or DR or anything like that.
Okay, you said will is its low save?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, let's go for a Hail Mary play here. I would like to cast Glitter Dust just on like the southeast edge of the Bule, so it covers it, but it doesn't hit Stormak or Daisy or Flora.
Okay.
So he needs to make a will save. DC 17.
All right, let's go. That's not going to pass. That's a 9.
Excellent. It is blind.
Very cool.
And sparkly.
Perfect.
Hell yeah. That's pretty huge. Solid move from Sidriel. And now, of course, it is the blind Boulay's turn.
And it can't go invisible now.
Glittered.
Yeah.
That is correct.
It's a good...
That's what it was going to do.
That's its main strategy, honestly.
It's a good tab.
But you guys are also now all unseen attackers. So I believe you should get a bonus to hit it, right?
Yeah.
I think we get a +2, right?
Does it lose its dex?
Yeah, it takes a -2 to its AC, and it loses its dexterity bonus to AC.
Nice.
And we have total concealment.
Yep. So 50% miss chance if he tries to hit you guys, and he's got a -6 to his AC. Suck on that.
Nice.
Bullet.
Yeah.
Now, this bullet.
Let me hit it before it runs away. Let
has
me hit it.
A little something called Tremor Sense.
Uh-oh.
Which, through vibrations in the ground, can automatically pinpoint the location of anything that is in contact with the ground.
Oh, it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough, essentially. And,
so I guess I would let it know where the creatures are, like, its general location, but it might still suffer the mischance.
Yeah, I mean, it tells you what
but
square.
But it at least knows what square to target.
Exactly. It's shooting for the square.
Maybe okay. Maybe instead of total concealment, we have partial.
It's not the best time to stop and do a bunch of research, I suppose.
Well, if it's going to save someone's life.
It is its turn.
This broken, cursed opponent that we're having a fight here. Thanks a lot, fans.
We can handle it. It'll be fine. Just let me hit it!
So, I'm gonna go with it can pinpoint your location, but will still suffer the mischance.
Yes, good. That sounds good.
And I'm gonna roll a d3. And one Flora... Or how about a d4?
Yeah.
One Flora, 2 Daisy, 3 Zeke, 4 Stormak. That's Flora. That's going to be a 20 to hit with the bite.
Yeah, that'll hit Flora.
Okay.
Well, it might.
Oh, yeah. Mischance. Bitch.
Yes. So, D100 here. That's a 62. So, that's going to hit.
Okay.
That's going to be 17 damage. And then two claws. 33.
What total? Is that with the 17 or in addition to the 17?
No, I think that was the percentile.
No. You got 17 damage from the bite, and he rolled a 33 to hit with a claw.
Oh.
Ace.
Where, with a mischance?
And the mischance is coming up. That's a 14. So that's going to miss.
Oh, yay.
One more claw coming at you. That's a 23 to hit.
That was the mischance of it?
The mischance is coming up.
Okay, that would hit.
It's a 66, so that's going to hit.
Okay.
Minimum damage of 10.
Okay. Yikes.
And that's its turn. Full attack. He could feel through the ground that you were sneaking up behind him. And he whips around and tries to lash out at you and does some substantial damage.
Yes.
And you're up next, Flora.
Okay. So Daisy's going to bite. Oh my god, why can't I roll? Plus three. 12 to hit. So that's a no. And just so I understand, when I put haste on, Daisy's unarmed strike got an additional attack, but her bite did not. Is it something about natural attacks?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that counts as it, like,
natural attacks don't get iteratives.
Okay, that's fine. And then she's going to back up with a 5-foot step so that Flora may lance. And then she backed up so that Flora can...
You should be able to do full attack now.
Yeah. Oh, natural 20 with plus
12. Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, you are. Confirm that shit.
And then
ooh, maybe.
A 23.
So also, Daisy might actually get an extra attack. When I'm reading just haste directly, it says, when making a full attack action, a hasted creature may make one extra attack with one natural or manufactured weapon.
Okay. So she'd get another bite, so too.
So if she had, like, a bite and two claws, she would have to pick one of those and get an extra attack with it. She wouldn't get an attack, extra attack for all of them.
I think for Daisy to do more than a single action, Flora has to give up some of her actions, right? So a full round action
from Daisy. Well, if she does something like that, yeah. But also, if she did a full round, I wouldn't be able to back up and lance anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to stick with what we're doing, I think.
That's a crit confirmed.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Nice.
I love it when I do that. And so with a lance, it's times 3. Is that just natural, or does it have to be charging?
Yep. So roll it thrice.
Get him.
Okay. 3d6.
And add it thrice.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the same bonuses all 3 times as well.
Okay, 3d6 plus 12 is what that will be.
Shit, yeah. Damn. Poke him in the eye. Nice roll.
So 26 damage.
Woo!
Very cool.
Fuck.
Nice.
Yes.
Not too shabby. Now, you guys are tackling this perceivably insurmountable beast. At least half of you are bloodied, and it's been rolling low, I'll tell you right now. But as Flora stabs into the back of this creature and it reels, you can tell that it is pretty badly hurt too, bleeding profusely from its hind parts. It's Zeke's turn at the top of the round.
All right, Ezekiel Kane, having moved into position, is going to take a full attack. Now, he gets a substantial bonus to these attacks because of flanking. Is the nave standard 3 as opposed to 2?
It's...
Yes.
Yes.
Shit, I got a plus 18 to both of these rolls. All right, here we go. I'll roll them public, too. Fuck it. Plus 18 to these rolls. First roll is a 20. Oh. Damn it. all right, well, let's try that again.
Go back to rolling privately.
With his heavily reduced AC, does a 20 hit? Because didn't a 26 hit before?
Oh, yeah. Are you applying his reduced AC?
I honestly totally forgot about that.
Yeah, he's got a minus 6 AC right now.
So it's
Did
a 20.
Did Daisy hit?
No, Daisy rolled a 3 with a plus 16. I think it was a 19.
It would be an AC 20.
Nice.
So that hits.
Very good.
First one hits. He does a fucking shit ton of damage, too, when his dexterity's this high. So he drank a cat's grace, was the first thing that he drank, and that really boosts his fucking dex. Okay, so that's 1d6 plus 9. So that one is... That first one is an 11. And the second one, 12 hits.
For damage?
Yep, 11 damage. And the second one is also 11 damage for 22 damage.
Amazing.
Very cool.
I just remembered, though, that I only did one lance attack.
What do you mean?
She's hasted.
You're hasted. You didn't do your second one.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
We got too excited.
Throw it in there. Do another nat 20.
Yeah, I know, right? That is 25 to hit.
That'll do.
Oh. 10 damage.
Nice.
Yeah.
There we go.
You guys are laying into this beast. Alright. Stormax up good. Next.
You done good.
Alright. Listen up, folks. Stormac is going to change his judgment mid-combat. Bum, bum, bum.
What the fuck does that mean?
He's gonna say...
It means he's an inquisitor.
He'll say, Torag, help me destroy this creature! And he will attempt again with this brand new Warhammer, two-handed, couple attacks. It's a 28 and a 31. Both of those are gonna hit. Awesome.
Both of those would hit without his reduced AC.
Yeah, damn.
It's about time. So that's a 10 and a 9 for damage. Both magical bludgeoning. He just cracks this thing like a... If multiple baseballs were coming at you. He hits one and then he hits the other one like left-handed. He hits this thing across the face and then with the backswing, he hits it again.
Well, let me tell you. It had 18 hit points left.
Nice.
Awesome.
So it's at negative 1, and you crack this thing in the dome, and you see it just lose consciousness and go limp.
Problem solved.
And it comes down to the ground with a thunderous flump. Flump sounded like an appropriate word.
Careful, we don't want to get sued by Wizards of the Coast.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
God damn it. This thing is unconscious, still living at negative 1 hit points.
Do we put it out of its misery? They're not sentient, are they?
I don't know, maybe you should adopt it.
Can I have a boulet? I know.
Yes, for the safety of Lepidstad and for us, we should definitely end this beast's life.
You sure I can't take it home?
Can we keep it?
It's a magical predator that's hunting Stormac. We should probably just end it here.
Okay, fine.
So we're no longer in combat. It's not really necessary to roll dice for a coup de grace, so I'll just take out the magical short sword of Vessian Hawkrin and start sawing this thing's head off.
Oh my god.
Yeah?
Dang, I wasted that charge of gravity bow.
Flora covers the manticore's eyes, the manticore that is strapped to her like a baby.
I mean, you might as well cut it off.
Is it on your back or on your front?
It's on my back. I had it on my back.
Bat baby. That's super cute.
You're a terrible mother.
Why?
Bringing your baby into a boule fight?
Well, I couldn't leave it anywhere else. Safest place is with me.
Just take Oslin's glasses away and tell him it's a new puppy.
With a really bitey tail.
just don't touch the end of it.
Well, you seem to have overcome whatever this statuette was doing to you.
Seem to have? I don't like the phrasing that you just chose.
Can you set it down?
Stormak tosses it to you.
Zeke, you catch it in your hands, and it's almost immediately gone.
Stormak reaches in his pocket and pulls it out again and just gives you a funny face.
I thought that was part of the deal.
Is this thing coming back?
He kicks over the head of the boule and he says, well, maybe I should attach something important to it if I can never lose it. And he just shrugs his shoulders, goes about setting up the campfire again, I suppose. Is this stuff edible?
I bet with a profession cook, you could make it edible.
Thanks, John, says Stormak.
I'm a DC 15.
Oh, okay, sure, I'll roll that.
Why not?
That's a 22.
Oh, yeah.
You have to just cut it really thin, that's the secret.
You must dominate the boule, only then may you sauté it.
I get down some boule fajitas.
So Stormak proudly sets up the fire and starts cooking up boule meat.
Nice. It smells
some boule jerky.
Interesting.
You know, it probably tastes like shark.
Yeah, like a little tougher, meatier shark meat.
A little gamier, yeah.
Ooh-ha-ha.
Ooh-ha-ha. Shark bait. Nice. And well, as you guys eat your boule fajitas and maybe heal up after getting giant chunks bit out of you by this monster.
After we're into our meal, Stormak comes over, cracks his knuckles, and says, Flora, if you would allow me. And he reaches over and casts Cure Light Wounds on Flora.
Wow!
New healer just dropped.
New healer, who dis?
We're off to a good start with Stormak healing for 8. It's a 7 on the D8.
Nice.
Nice. Coming in hot.
Stormak smiles and nods silently. You could probably see him say it silently. Thank you, Torak.
You're welcome.
Torak's voice is way deeper than that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the wind makes you lose 20 leagues.
Sure.
On your voice.
Leagues.
Because it's deepness.
Right.
But leagues are a measure of distance, not depth.
Damn it! I was
Vern.
Fathoms. I think fathoms is depth.
Damn you, Vern. Jules.
All right, excellent.
Well, as you guys heal up and eat your fajitas, we'll pan up into the sky with the moon.
We pan over to heaven, where we see Torag smiling and nodding.
There you go.
We're all laughing around the campfire with this great corpse.
Torag's sitting next to his campfire and looking at you in the fire. And he gives you that, like, a Grizzly Adams nod.
100%.
And from his divine power, we all hit level 20.
And then everybody in the bar clapped.
Robert Redford in a river, nodding, with a beard. Big old beard. We all know.
And I think that's what we're going to call it for the week.
got the burning stone. So easy, scrape the dust off of these bones. Turn out the light. No, I won't need the sign. Leave the keys with the doorman. Lock the front door when I'm done. So cold, it eats you old. So pack up my bones and hit the road. Hit the road.
I would like to start the first congregation of the Church of Glitter Dust. That is between this game and the other game. That is two fights in a row where that spell has come in absolutely fucking clutch.
Well done, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty solid.
Yeah, that was pretty great time for it to fail a will save. It could have taken one of you down if it didn't have that mischance of it.
Yeah, probably. I probably would have died there.
There you go. Sid's a healer, too. He prevented however much damage that thing would have done to Flora.
Good job.
He had a plus 15 on his bite for 2d8 plus 12. Crit 19 to 20.
Yikes.
And the claw.
Oh, yeah, that would have hurt real bad.
Two claws plus 14 for 2d6 plus 8.
Let me get some of that fresh knowledge on top of my head.